now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Do works meet for repentance? In these days when the religion of most is to give God some words of religious gush while they live the way they want to, and then return to church on Sundays to give God some more religious talk, my message may be as a balm to such a carnival of religious hypocrisy. In the ears of all such I cry, do works meet for repentance? The living God of heaven is a God by whom actions are weighed. He is sickened by those who speak one way and live another. Pious prayers with their nice religious phrases may increase one's pride, but God will not even hear such prayers, for he says, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Many are those who ease their conscience by religious chants, while they know right well they have no personal contact with the Holy God of heaven. He will not hear their prayers, and to them his word, the Bible, is all a mystery. But there are some sincere souls, and in our mail we get letters with problems like this one. They write, since my Christian wife died, I have checked up on myself, and I have tried to contact God to get things squared away. I read the Bible, but I do not hear God's voice speaking to me. I pray, but I know God does not hear me. I know the trouble must be with me and not God, but what can I do about it? This is the problem before us. Far better than my answer is the direct answer of God himself. I quote, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have made him hide his face from you that he will not hear. No wonder such people grope like the blind as if they had no eyes and stumble at noonday as in the night. As the Bible says, the Lord is just as able and willing to save as he ever was, even in these last and evil days, and he's just as able to hear prayer. But the trouble is your sins. They separate your Maker from you. He is a holy God who hates all sin, while you still love your sins and continue in their lusts and pleasures. That's the trouble. The man in jail for gambling cannot undo his history. He is guilty of his crime, and the law is clear. But if in the jail, instead of repenting, he teaches others the tricks of gambling, what judge would show him mercy? When preachers tell people that God is offering them all a free pardon, if they will just accept it, they will be forgiven. They are making God one who would visit all the prisons with pardons and would turn all out, who will just take one. A wise judge will show mercy to a repentant criminal who shows by his works that he's in earnest to turn from his old ways. But to all others, he wisely keeps the prison doors locked. Their petitions for mercy are in vain, so long as there are no works of repentance. And is God less wise and less holy than judges? This brings us to the Bible doctrine so often repeated in God's Word. The Bible speaks of wicked works. These are the sinful deeds of men proceeding out of their desperately wicked hearts. Then it speaks of good works, and these are the acts of born-again people which they do to please God. But there are also dead works, and these are the attempts of the religious to imitate the good works of Christians, to try and gain favor with God and to appear righteous before men. Such are labeled dead works in God's dictionary. But my message introduces works which are neither wicked, good, nor dead works. They are the works meet for repentance. Works done by man in his unregenerated state, in which he evidences the sincerity of his desire to turn from his evil ways to God. Preachers today close their eyes to these works, but John the Baptist made such a prominent part of his message as he cried, flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and say not. That is, stop your pious religious talk. God looks for actions. Where are your works of repentance? And Paul, yes, Paul, who wrote Romans, Galatians, and Ephesians, Paul summed up all his ministry in these words, I showed throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they, that means all men, should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, they went about to kill me. When preachers bypass these works meet for repentance, hypocrites abound and sin and religion marches arm in arm. To those who have written me their problem and to all others I cry, repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. These are the only kind of works God will recognize in unsaved people, but these he demands, and without them he will not hear their prayers nor save their souls. Neighbor, face these facts and do something about it. Do what? Do works. Do works. God is looking for the works that show your sincere repentance. Here are some examples of this Bible doctrine. Athens was a city wholly given to idolatry, yet in it was a man whom we shall call Mr. Works. After making a handsome idol and building his altar before it and laying his gifts on it, he came to himself like the prodigal son and said, that thing cannot be God, for I made it. What a fool I am. Down with it. I will worship no more idols. And he tore it down. But his altar remained. Man everywhere is a worshiper, thus showing his inward consciousness of God. He thinks again, there must be a living God who made all things, but I've never heard of him. This will I do. And on his altar he inscribed these words, to the unknown God. And on it he spread his gifts. When God saw those works meet for repentance, he sent his choicest messenger, Paul, to Athens. Before Paul preached, the Holy Spirit took him up for a walk and showed him that altar. Deeply moved thereby, Paul preached to them the living and true God and his son Jesus Christ. In his audience was our Mr. Works, and in heaven we shall learn the rest of this wonderful story. People today are told to just accept eternal life, but the Lord charged his preacher to preach. I live, saith the Lord God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Life? Yes, there is life for men, but only when they turn from their evil ways. To continue in sin brings death, not life. As Paul called upon men at Ephesus to repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance, a victory for God is recorded in these words. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. When did this happen? It was when many came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many who used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. When God saw those works of repentance, he drew near to save. His hand was not shortened that it could not save. They turned from their evil ways and burned the bridges behind them. This was not like the man who said he had quit his cigarettes while he only hid them. Neighbor, you cannot fool God with such hypocrisy. Where are your burning books and destroyed idols? Have you followed books of devilish deceit or worshiped images? God is waiting for you to burn those images and those books. Then he will draw near to save you. But others of you have the idol of money. You love it and live for it. You are like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus asking him how he could get eternal life. His words sounded good, but our Lord looked for actions. And so he first demanded of him the works of repentance. He told him to sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and come take up the cross and follow me. Without the works of repentance, the following and fellowship of Christ could not be his experience. Whereas another rich man, Zacchaeus, showed his works of repentance, restoring fourfold those he had robbed and giving half his goods to the poor. To him our Lord Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. Carnal riches are like the robber's loot. They must be confessed and forsaken if you will get right with God. If God will not hear you, it is not that God has some favorites. Again and again, the Bible states that there's no respect of persons with God. Yet some preachers impute to God respect of persons by assuring a Christian that all his house will finally be saved. This is a sad delusion, for many sons of godly parents are now in hellfire, and it is a slur on God. There is no respect to persons with God. He is just as ready to save the son of a blaspheming infidel as the son of a godly preacher. With each one, he demands personal repentance, and the works meet for repentance. Neighbor, do works meet for repentance? Are you like the proud Pharisees that came to Jesus, to John, proud of their birth and their life? John denounced their pride and told them to show the works of repentance. How could they? By coming along with the harlots and the publicans to be put under Jordan's waters of judgment, confessing their sins and their equal guilt before God. At a slum mission in New York, a society man and wife went to see what was going on. As the preacher called for all, rich and poor, to repent, that rich pair knelt with the drunks and harlots side by side and sought mercy of God. In the Bible, a harlot was stirred to get right with God. What would be her works meet for repentance? She takes her ointment used in her sin and breaks it on the feet of Jesus. What a demonstration of her reality. To her, our Lord said, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." A man with a bottle of whiskey told me he wanted to be saved. I agreed to help him if he would break the whiskey bottle, but he held on to it. Our wicked works have alienated us from God, and we must turn from such to do works meet for repentance, or there'll be no contact with our Maker. When the liquor store manager hands in his license and the youth burns his lewd pictures, they show to God their sincerity. Others are self-willed. They must, as all others, surrender to Jesus as their Lord to obey him if they will be blessed with his salvation. Paul laid down his sword of stubborn rebellion on that Damascus road as he cried, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Where is your sword, your surrendered will? This will be your works of repentance as it was Paul's. Neighbor, the Lord is still able to save you, but he is waiting for those works of repentance. Let no price be too dear. Break loose from all. Burn all the bridges behind you and obey God's word. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And do it now. Amen. But if you say, "Why must I do the works of repentance? God knows my heart, whether I'm sincere or not," your question exposes you and shows you are not sincere, but you want to hold on to your old sins. If you were sincere, you would look your life over and your sinful ways and gladly do anything to show God and angels, and saints and sinners too, that you are truly repentant and want to be made a new person to live a new life. If you balk at this part of real Bible repentance, it will be to perish with your sins and in your sins. And the living God insists on our obedience to his commands. There's no arguing with God. He commands you to repent and expects your complete obedience. Don't try to trim off anything and just do the part you want. Moreover, a faith professed as being in the heart, but that has no manifestation in the life, is dead and worthless. And so, with a repentance claimed as being in the heart, but with no manifestation in your actions, is only a sham before God and man. Real Bible faith works the works of faith, and real Bible repentance shows its reality by the works of repentance. Neighbor, if you want God's salvation in its eternal entirety, then you must meet God's terms and go all the way, and that includes the works of repentance. Why should you even hesitate at this? God went all the way, even to give his beloved son for you. Christ himself went all the way to Calvary to provide salvation for you. And now it's up to you to go all the way in true Bible repentance. God manifested his love and mercy for you by works. Jesus Christ proved himself worthy of your faith by his work. And now it is your move to show your sincere repentance by your works of repentance. In complete obedience and submission, may you now do works meet for repentance and enter into God's salvation. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.